Good morning. Let me read today from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Then I'll pray and we go into today's devotion. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, 'I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord.' Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.' Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him." Father, thank you for your word. Pray that as we go into your word today that you would speak to us and that you would lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been going through this study on prayer, and really in the first few books of Genesis is really just conversations that God is having with people. And last week we looked at God's conversation with Adam and Eve and the introduction of sin into humanity and the cause and the effects of sin upon humanity in terms of separation from God, being away from his presence and having that sense of shame and guilt over their lives. And so now as we continue to look at these conversations between Cain and Abel and try to see really what these conversations really just speak to our lives, we see here that following the context of this is that sin has now entered into the world, that in this context of Cain and Abel, that they're now out of Eden, they're out of God's presence, but there's still a continuing conversation between God and humanity. And here we have, we're privileged to really just hear this conversation that Cain has with God. And it's really more God having a conversation with Cain. And really, it's an interesting conversation that is happening in terms of the warning that Cain receives, and then what happens after that. And so when we're looking at these verses here, we're starting with we have two brothers here, Cain and Abel. One is he shepherds flock, and the other one is he takes care of the ground. And so it says here, starting with verse 3, it says, "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought on his part also his firstlings of his flock and of fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard." So we see here in this passage here that they both do different things. One does shepherding a flock, the other one does the first fruits, and they both do an offering to God here, okay? Which, on just looking at it from a surface level, it looks like, oh, they're both just, whatever they're doing, whatever their profession is, they're just both doing, they're both bringing an offering to God here. But the key word here is that what we see is that God had a regard for Abel's offering, but he didn't have a regard for Cain's offering, okay? Now, sometimes people will say, well, that's because Abel was a shepherd of the flock, and and Cain was working the grounds, and working the grounds is something you can work on your own and so forth. And so there's debate in terms of why did God disregard Cain's offering in terms of this. But if you look at First John chapter 3, when we go to First John chapter 3, we kind of get a glimpse of really why there's a sense of disregard for Cain's offering. So First John chapter 3, in this passage it says, 1 John chapter 3 with verse 12, it says, we get a glimpse here. It says, for this is a message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So this is being, what we're reading here in 1 John chapter 3 is really being spoken of in the context of love. And it says that we should love one another, not as Cain. And so here John uses Cain as an example, who was of the evil one and slew his brother, and for that reason he did not stay. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Okay, so we kind of get a glimpse of maybe what is happening internally in the life of Cain, that maybe there's a sense of jealousy that is happening here between two siblings. We could assume that did the jealousy happen after the offering was rejected, or was it something that was already brewing internally within Cain here? But what we do know is that Abel's offering is received in terms of regard. It is received versus Cain's offering. It says here that God had no regard for it. And I find that to be interesting in terms of our because this is a moment of worship that is happening here as well. And I think when I was meditating through this passage and I was asking myself, just reflecting on this passage, is I wonder how, if when Cain was bringing his offering to the Lord, what he was thinking was going to be God's response. Was he just kind of just caring about his normal ritual of bringing his worship before God? And was he expecting that his offering wasn't going to be taken up by God? And the reason I was contemplating about that is just because I think sometimes when we come to worship, or even in moments of prayer, we feel that we're offering something to God. Versus here in this passage, we see that, hey, Cain offered something. It's not that Cain withheld anything. Cain actually was doing what he was meant to be doing. He was bringing his offering before God. On a surface level, everything is going according to how things should be going. And I reflect that on my own life as that, oh, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm coming to church. Oh, I'm opening up the Word. I'm spending my time in the Word. But those are the external things versus what I think what's happening here. There's something internally that is happening inside Cain that God has no regard in terms of Cain's offering, which lets us know something deeper about worship, that worship is not just about the externals. That the externals can actually be deceiving in our lives, in the lives of others, and even in our own lives. But God is also looking at the internal. That's why when you look at Jesus, and when Jesus is talking about certain types of sin, when he talks about temptation and lust, when he talks about anger and hatred equaling it to murder, he's not just talking about the external consequences of these actions. He's actually looking at the internal consequences in a person's heart, that Jesus says, hey, even if you look at lust with it at a woman, you've already committed adultery. If you have hatred towards your brother, you've already committed murder. So there's the external that is happening, but there's also the internal that is happening as well. And I think the same is happening in Cain's life, that externally he is doing what is that we would look at and it would just seem like he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But there's something that is internally happening in his life, and we're going to see that God is going to be confronting that in his life. So I think for me, in terms of reflection in that in this passage here, is just reflecting, is do I sometimes offer vain worship in my life, vain prayer in my life, where externally, I've convinced myself that I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to be doing, but internally, there are things that are not aligned with God and his heart. And I think there's a lot to be learned from Cain in this place here. And so as we continue reading here in verses, starting with verse 5, it says, "But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell." So essentially is that word regard is really, when it's being translated, it's almost as if God didn't even look at it in that way. And it says that Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And so at this moment, in terms of now Cain is upset. He's now upset. The word here is angry, and it says his countenance fell. The way I imagine that is kind of like the way a child gets angry sometimes, where it kind of like a child just looks down at, their face drops to the ground, and they look up at you, and they're like, oh, kind of in that way. That's kind of the way I imagine maybe Cain just being, his face being cast down, and him just being angry as to what has just happened to him. And so then in verse 6, it says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen?" And so in this moment of Cain's offering being rejected, we have then this conversation. We have God speaking to Cain, asking him, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? Verse 7, "If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." And I want to focus on this part of a part of prayer in our lives, because this is part of what we're going through in terms of prayer, is that prayer just is so diverse, is so vast in terms of what happens when we go to God in prayer. Many times we bring supplications to God, kind of like our community prayers, that we're lifting up our needs before God. But sometimes there's prayers, there's conversations that we're having with God where God is working in our lives, when he's bringing into our lives conviction about things that are happening within our lives. And that's what we see that's happening here, is that we see that Cain is very angry and his countenance has fell, and God brings that into question in Cain's life. He says, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? Now, I don't know about you, but I know in my life that there's been many times in my life where there was and I would say that at this moment, Cain is not aligned with God, okay? That because he's angry, his offering hasn't been accepted. That there's been moments in my life where God will ask a question of me because he knows I'm not aligned to him. That, let's say, for example, I'd be in prayer and God says, how come you don't love your dad? Oh, how come you don't love your mother? Oh, how come you haven't forgiven this person? Oh, how come you've been acting harshly and bitterly towards that person? That's God's confrontation happening in our lives sometimes. And that's really one of the, I would say, we could consider it maybe a tough area of prayer in our life, but I would consider it one of the gentle things that God does, even more so with the Holy Spirit, about how the Holy Spirit, it's really the Holy Spirit that can work in our hearts to bring conviction with that gentleness and speak to us about these things in our lives. Because guess what? We all have areas in our lives that as we're walking with God and journeying with God, where we're not going to be aligning with God, and God's going to speak to us on those areas in our heart that are happening, and it's going to be a matter of our response to what he is revealing to our heart that's really going to be the difference about it. Now, if you feel that God's never going to speak, that, oh, you walk such a perfect way that God's never going to speak to you or confront you, God confronts every area of our lives. That's a part of when we go to prayer to That's a part of what happens when we go to prayer before God, especially in the context of worship, especially in the context of our relationship with other people. That, what does Jesus say? He says, if you have something against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go deal with the issue that you have with your brother. Again, in the context of worship, again, in the context of our relationship with one another, that God says, hey, your worship at this point, I have zero regard for it because your heart is not in the right place with me, and the reason why your heart is not in the right place is your heart is not in the right place with your brother. So at this point, your worship has no regard. And so God sometimes speaks to us and convicts us. I remember this one time where I had that conviction, where I was struggling with an individual, and I remember I was in a moment, and this is exactly the way it happened. I had an issue with an individual to the point that if they were in the room, I didn't really want to be in the room in that because I just didn't know how to be with them. I didn't know how they perceived me or anything. I just felt there was a tension with me and that person. And I remember then being in prayer, not even really even thinking about that at all, and God bringing into reminder that verse where it says, hey, if you have something against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go deal with it. And at that moment, that's of receiving that word, I recognize at this point, anything I do doesn't matter if I don't deal with that relationship. And I knew exactly, God didn't even have to mention the name of that person. He didn't have to say, go and talk to this person. I knew exactly when that verse came to my heart, what I had to go do. And so I went and talked to that person, and it healed a lot of the tension in our relationship. And so sometimes in prayer, guess what? This is what happens in prayer. God confronts the areas in our lives that we may not necessarily be aware of, or we may not be necessarily been wanting to deal with in our lives. But if we're going to offer anything that has regard to God in worship, that we want God to look at our worship with regard, it's going to have to be in alignment with Him and has to be in alignment with one another. And so when we continue to look at this passage, we see here in verse 7, it says, and this is the warning, you could say the challenge that God gives to Cain. He says, if you do not do well, will you not be received? Sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. And so God is here speaking to Cain and says, hey, if you go and you do what is right, will you not be received? Essentially, hey, you will be received if you do go and do what is right. But he gives him the warning here. He says, and it's quite a powerful verse. It says, but sin is crouching at the door and his desire is for you, but you must master it. And so God speaks to Cain. He speaks to him and he's giving him a warning. Hey, sin is crouching at your door. And sin desires for you, but you must master it and rule for it. And I want to look at James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15 for this passage here. In terms of speaking about sin, James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, it says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when his lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. And so we kind of get this process of how kind of sin sometimes works in our lives, that sin is lurking at our doors, crouching in a way that it desires for us. But before it gives, that's the beginning, initial, it says, but sin, then the end result is that it gives birth, it evolves, and it then eventually it brings death. And so here, Cain, God is speaking to Cain, and he's saying, sin is crouching at your door, and his desire is for you, but you must master it. And sadly, when we read verse 8, we know what has now happened. Verse 8 says, Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And so sadly, we see that Cain did not master the sin that was crouching, the hatred that or jealousy that he had towards his brother. And we see the fullness of sin now being displayed in the life of Cain, being fully giving birth to sin in his life that leads to what? Him murdering his brother, of him calling his brother out to the field and murdering him. And so it's a very sad story, but I think it's something that we can learn so much for in our lives about dealing with things that God brings into confrontation in our lives, that when he's doing and he's bringing things into confrontation into our lives is to really get us to a place of healing and restoration in our lives so that we don't give birth to the fullness of sin in our lives. Yes, did Cain's regard at this moment, did God not have regard for Cain's offering at that moment? Yes, but that wasn't the worst of what was yet to happen. The worst of what would come would be him murdering his brother. And I think that's the problem, that when we go before God and we're in prayer and he's bringing things, he's speaking to us, things in our heart, of things he's challenging us and wanting to deal with us, and we don't deal with it, is that really, in that same way, there's the worst is yet to come, you could say, when we don't deal with the things that God is revealing in our lives, that in the same way, just as God confronted Cain, the worst was yet to come, and that worst was him murdering his brother. You could look at the story of David as well, in that moment where David is at the window and he looks at Bathsheba and he lusts after her. As bad as it was that David was in that moment of lusting after Bathsheba, you could say that was sin crouching at the door. Temptation was lurking, desiring for him. If he would have dealt with it at that moment, everything that follows that moment after that could have been prevented in his life, you could say. And that's the reflection for me in my life, that what are the things, and hopefully for you this morning, and it's a very challenging one of, or maybe at least just that we'd be open to the challenges that God reveals to us in our hearts. But if there is something, and whoever's leading worship, I'll invite you up now, that if there are things in our heart that God is bringing to confront, that he's revealing, and I always believe that God reveals to heal, is what is going to be our response when he reveals? What is going to be our response when he reveals things in our heart, when he asks of us questions? Because he asked Cain a question. Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? How do we respond when God asks questions of us? You know, normally when other people ask questions of us, we can become defensive. But what if God is the one asking questions of us? What if God is the one saying, Samuel, you have tension with your brother. Go deal with it. Samuel, I've called you. I want you to go to this place. Why haven't you gone yet? Whatever it is that God might be revealing to us in our heart, it's always going to be dependent on the response that we give him. But God, I believe in his graciousness and his mercy, deals with us and confronts us. So as we go into a time of worship here, let's reflect upon our own lives of, God, have I been offering offerings that really you have zero regard, but I've been thinking that you've been looking at them, you've been pleased with them, but really you've had zero regard with them because my heart hasn't been aligned with you. I haven't been dealing with what you've been doing in my heart or in my relationship with others. And also this morning, Father, are there things in my life where you're asking questions of me and I've been putting them off. I haven't been wanting to deal with in my life, but that's your grace and your mercy reaching out to me. Father, I pray that we would have the courage and the boldness to deal with those things that you reveal in our hearts, that we would not give sin a place in our lives, to see it at full birth, that just as Cain had that moment, that opportunity where sin was crouching at the door and you spoke to him, but you must not rule over him. And write the next verses that he was calling his brother out to the field and murdering him. And so, Father, before we get to that last place, Father, let us deal with it when we're in prayer, when you speak to us about these things. And so, Father, we thank you this morning that you're a God that reveals, that you're a God that seeks restoration, that you're not a God that brings condemnation, but you do bring conviction into our lives. And so, Father, let us be sensitive to the convictions that you bring when we're in prayer. And let our offering have regard. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Thank you. You know, when you look at that passage there, Cain doesn't respond to God when he asks, why are you angry? Why is your countenance? He only responds to God once God says, where is your brother? And that's where the famous line, am I my brother's keepers, come. And so, Father, I pray that when you are speaking to us, that we won't respond in silence to you. That we'd recognize that you speaking to us, that you revealing to us is really your grace and your mercy being at work in our lives to bring us back and restore us into relationship with you. And so, Father, I pray that as we just open up our hearts to these difficult moments of prayer in our lives, that it's really your gentleness, your Holy Spirit that reveals. And I pray that we may have the strength and the courage to respond when you ask questions of us in our lives. And so, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go to our community prayer. Let's pray for those that have cancer. Let's pray for strength in their lives and healing. Let's pray for those that are sick and need of an encounter with God, salvation. Pray for those that are sick. Pray for those that got COVID and are frontline medical workers. Seeking for job opportunities. pray for the needs in Hong Kong. Pray for our staff. Pray for our hospitality. For our worship sound and AV team. Pray for those that are pregnant. Father, we thank you for this morning. Pray that as we go throughout our day, that you'd be with us, leading us and guiding us to be a light to the places we enter. And so, Father, I just pray that we would continue in prayer and conversation with you throughout our day. And so, Father, we thank you for your goodness over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. See you tomorrow. God bless.